Good evening, weary travelers and wanderers. You are now aboard the Earthship. Please sit back in your chair, recline, grab your favorite beverage. My name is Roy. I'll be your pilot for the ship, and we have our co-pilot, Mandy, along with us.
Hey, everyone.
Yes, we have Mandy and our engineer, our in-flight engineer and navigator, Mr. Sean Ashley Wilson.
How's it going? Sure.
I got it right this time. And for your enjoyment during the trip, we have the wonderful Miss Danielle Agnew. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing lovely. Thanks for asking.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. A little quick rundown, a little history on you here. Most of the Billings folks know you from Pope Jane, the early days. Pope Jane started out here in Billings, Montana, went to the Northwest. They charted on the FM charts out there. From there, your career moved on. You're a voting member of the Grammy Committee. You've been in a couple of different films as co-star. You've produced one full-length feature documentary. You've been on the cover of UFO and Supernatural magazine, listed as the number one psychic of the year. You've been in Curve magazine, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
That's how I felt when I was looking her up, because I was a creep.
Wikipedia, folks, if you want to know the whole story.
She can do it all.
Nice. Actually, you guys, I am honored, and Roy, I'm really honored you got all of that into one breath.
I know, right?
Dude, I'm impressed. Wow.
Catching his breath over there.
That's
new.
Right. Way to go, man. That's awesome.
It's using that diaphragm. You know, you got to get the embryonic breathing going and all that kind of stuff.
Very
the singers know about.
Very true. Very
got
true.
What a professional thing to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so the subject tonight, we usually come up with a subject, and it kind of happens serendipitously. So the subject is, for $20, breasts.
Seriously? This is the best radio interview ever.
No, what?
Oh, my God.
That was the subject.
Are we really talking about breasts this whole hour? This is fantastic.
Well, all right. We'll just start out with breasts and go downhill from there. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I am so in on that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this being the topic once before on air with you out in Washington. So,
actually, that was the Northwest Convergence Zone, and I do believe that was Daryl Fortune's show, and we somehow went to boobies. And I don't know what it is about me and boobies, but
I think that was Ray Hayden that started that out. He started right off the bat with it. We're talking about breasts tonight.
Yes, you know, he did.
It's a great subject.
Yes. So this is what I love. This is what I love about this show, you guys. And she's a Grammy committee person, and she's been in these films, and we're going to talk about boobs. Okay, let's talk about boobs. Yes, let's do it.
So let's hear from the experts. Does my co-host have anything to say on the subject? She's got a pair. She's an expert on it.
I don't know. They're nice, you know. They're boobs. You know, it's good to have boobs when you're a chick.
It can be tumultuous.
Understated.
If you don't. Yeah, exactly.
It's a good thing. No.
I don't think they're ever understated.
What, boobs aren't understated? No, there can definitely be understated boobs. That is absolutely true.
Moment of silence. Okay, a moment of silence there. I knew there was a reason we kept having those moments of silence. I wanted to throw something out here, not to overshadow anything or anything, but I'd like everybody just take just a split second and remember Mr. Johnny Winters. He is no longer with us as of today.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
A wonderful man, wonderful musician. I actually got a chance to sit and chat with him for about a half hour or so a couple years ago, and just an amazing individual, one of the most kind-hearted people I think I've ever met in my life. And he's not with us anymore. And so I'd just like to say thank you, Johnny, for all the music. We're going to have a toast and sip a little beer, and I hope all our guests do the same thing.
Clinking in the studio. That's most
so
fabulous.
Here's the so, Mr. Winters, and
right on.
Thank you for all the wonderful music and all the years of enjoyment.
That's awesome.
So now we're back to breasts and music.
Okay.
How do you? I got to say, the first time I ever seen you play, no, it wasn't your breasts that got me to watch you. It was the music.
It should not have been, because there's not a whole lot up front there, Roy. I would have been real worried about you if you were looking at nothing. That would be sad. So don't look at nothing.
Don't listen to her. She's got enough going on. It's fine.
Oh, thank you.
She's downplaying her breasts right now, everyone.
Well, they're not. Well, thank you. Right on, Mandy. I'll take it. Jeez. No, seriously, though, when the first time I played at Casey's, wasn't the first time I played, but the first time I actually saw you and met you, I saw you standing over there, Roy, and you had this big old grin on your face, just this big old grin, like, yee! And I thought, who is this really smiley guy? I mean, and the thing was, is you had the best energy ever. I mean, just the freaking best energy ever. And I'm like, so I get done and I get off the stage and here's a smiley person. And I thought, hi, I just went and said howdy to you. I'm like, you're smiling a lot. You're happy. And we kind of became friends since then. That was back in, what, 1996, 97? Something
yeah,
like
I
that?
I think it was earlier than that.
It would have been, well, it would have been 96, be, I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe it was 96,
yeah,
right around
96, because yep. that was the first time Pope Jane was out playing. Rita was in the band. Mm-hmm. And it was before Pope Jane got signed, and it was before we went out and did our big thing. And we were very lucky to go out and do what we did, and we did more out of Montana than we did in Montana. But I remember that, sitting there going, dude.
Do you really want to know why I was smiling?
I would love to know why you were smiling, actually.
Because I had about 30 people I was out with that night, and I said, who in the hell is that? And they told me, and I says, I want to meet that girl. And they're like, you don't stand a chance. She swings for the other team and everything else, and you're not going to get anywhere.
But lesbians
else.
Don't
and,
talk to people?
And I'm just
rude.
Sitting back, and I'm just smiling right. to myself, and they're going, uh-huh, right, yep. I'm going to be good friends with this person. Just if for no other reason, just to say, I can go be friends with somebody and prove them assholes all wrong.
Thank you. High five up here. That's oh, what yeah. the hell? Yeah. Who would give you advice to not go talk? They're gay. They won't talk to you. We're gay. We're happy. Hello. Yes,
exactly.
We'll.
I mean,
we'll talk
meaning,
to everybody.
I mean, definition.
I'm
right?
just like, great musician and she's hot. That's a plus. I want to meet this person.
And I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I had a feeling that's what that was when he said that, when he was going to explain why he was smiling. I knew it was going to have something to do with that. I just foresaw it, you know.
You could feel Even it though, coming. Yeah, it was your secret psychic coming. Sense.
Yeah, totally.
I just know. Had to prove him wrong. Yeah. That was she had the most awesome energy.
I wouldn't have been able to not say hi to her myself. I'm just like that, though. Like, I just like to say hi to people and compliment them and stuff because, you know, we're people. We're supposed to be talking to each other and getting, you know what I mean? Socializing.
Well, and here's the thing. I'd like to tag that with the thought yeah. is that you have an amazing singing voice. And I heard you sing at here in Billings, Montana. And I don't know, it was an open mic or what was it? It was a Yellowstone,
because I saw you there and I remember it.
Yeah, it was an open mic. It must have been if I was over there doing something. I love doing shows over there, but I don't think I was doing a show that night.
No,
it was Yellowstone Brewery.
It happened to be open mic night. Yes.
The guys that gave us this beer that we're drinking here tonight.
Yep. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Love you guys. Black Widow Stout. Nice choice. Nice choice.
Very nice choice.
But I heard you say.
With just a hint of spider.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Just a hint of chocolate. We're taking the spider out. But you have an amazing voice. And one of the things that, to your point of just speaking to someone, you know, we had a fantastic conversation because you have an amazing singing voice. And I was standing back there with the sound guy and I heard you open your mouth. I heard you sing and I turned to the sound guy and said, oh my God, a woman who can sing. I'm so excited. Because as somebody who has a bigger voice myself, you never find chicks who can actually sing.
I like the boisterous voice. And you, I thought the same thing about you. I freaked out. I was just like, I did. I freaked out.
Right
I was
on.
Talking about you to everybody at the table. I was like, oh my God, she's so awesome. I was like, I have to say something to her before we leave at some point.
Well, and you had a show coming up. And so I was like walking around to everybody going, you got to check her out. Because here's the thing. I don't think that people use their mechanisms. They don't use them. And I'm talking about vocal mechanisms, talent mechanisms. People don't use them. And a lot of chicks sing like this because they think it's sexy. In fact, it sounds like you need a respirator. So please grab some oxygen. I'm like, good God.
I'm sorry. I'm over here gagging.
Put your freaking diaphragm under that, sister. Sing me a song or shut
put
the
some,
hell up.
Put some breath in there.
God, really, right? So anyway, I just wanted to compliment you. You have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That means a lot coming from a gal such as yourself, I know.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, yeah.
So, Roy, you've been captaining this thing. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people know, Roy. Well, some people know. You and I co-own a record label together.
Yep, and the record label is kind of what got this started, along with a bunch of other people dragging me down here and saying, hey, come down and help out. And then Mr. Sean over here was nice enough to give me a time slot for it and take a chance on what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Sean.
Right on, Sean.
We're
you.
Happy to have you here. This is a great show.
This is awesome.
It's fun. If it ain't fun, we're not doing it right. And that goes for everything in life, people. If it ain't fun, you ain't doing it right.
That's right.
Exactly. Including for boobs.
Sure. Including boobs.
Yeah.
Including not boobs. To diverge off subject your topic. On that. Yeah, right? I don't want to diverge off topic, dude. So, yeah, that's rude.
She's just going to throw it in there. We'll keep
so,
it up.
So, as a connoisseur of boobs and an owner of a pair,
yes.
What kind of boobs do you like? What turns you on, baby?
What turns me on? I like boobs attached to the person I'm in love with. That's really true. They can be different sizes. They can be different kinds. As long as they are attached to the person I'm into, I am happy with them. I'm actually not somebody that would look at a pair of boobs and say, why, my goodness, your breasts regrettably do not meet my margin and you are disqualified. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I actually just like the boobs that are attached to the person I'm into. So
you don't ever go out and go boob watching?
Boob washing? No. No, the only time you go boob washing, you guys, is when I spend time in Los Angeles, and I still do for a lot of the work that I do. My God.
I'm going to call bullshit on you because we spent 45 days together 2 summers ago, and we commented on a lot of boobs that
summer.
I
will mention that you may have let out first, and I surely will comment if you lead out, but I was not necessarily caught by these boobs. I'll tell you what catches my eye.
I was instigating the whole thing. I'll admit to that. I'm an instigator, without a doubt. Hey, dude. Danielle, check those out. What do you think?
I'm like, well, I don't know. That looks like a back problem. That looks like back problems to me. That looks like a lot of psychological disorder. I don't know. But for boobs, man, if they've got to be natural. How about that? Is that a better answer? They have to be natural boobs. For me personally, I know people who have augmented their boobs for many reasons, and that's cool. Whatever you want to do, it's your body.
Exactly.
Stick whatever you want to into it. I don't care. Whatever. But Roy, shut up. That thought that just came out of your head was not nice.
What?
She already knew what you were
whatever.
Thinking.
She already knew what I was thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is,
it was the whole real versus fake thing. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So the thing is,
you know
is,
what?
Go
They're
for
all
it.
Real if you can touch them.
Oh my God. Okay, here's the thing. Now, I got the opportunity one time to feel, I was asked to feel a pair of breasts that had implants in them. And it was this very kind of clinical, look at this boob job. It was in LA. And I looked at the boob job and I said, well, that looks mighty natural.
She was obviously very proud.
She was. And they were really nice looking boobs. They really were. And she was like, well, feel this. And so I said, oh, right. And I reached over and just kind of felt it. And actually, it didn't feel too terrible, but it was very overly hard, you know? And
like
I
a dodgeball.
Like a dodgeball with a puffy Peeps coating on it. Like those, you know, like those marshmallow Peeps covering a dodgeball. And there was something just kind of not right about it. But they were cosmetically to look at. They were gorgeous. I thought, oh my God, if I had to sleep in those, I would bash my own head in with a shovel. But, you know, everybody's different. And I know that everybody likes different things. So I just don't necessarily think I want to sleep in a dodgeball covered with Peeps, but other people could.
It could happen. Other people that are cool with that, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's
on.
A to each his own.
Exactly. Well, absolutely. To each his own. That's exactly how it is.
To each his own.
I don't
or
think,
her own.
Or exactly. her own. Well, and depending
whatever
on
whatever makes
you
happy, whatever makes you feel good.
I don't think I could actually have breast implants, though.
I already know I couldn't. I'm too much of a wuss to go through with the whole process of it.
I don't think I could handle having like weird packets of fake stuff sewed to my chest wall.
I don't know. I don't know if I could either. Just the thought of it makes it even worse.
Like, I know.
I really have thought about it, but then I just keep going back to the fact that I'm just like, oh man, you just know you're not going to be able to handle that kind of thing. You just know it.
So I'm going to bring this breast thing all the way back around to music, what we're here for and whatnot,
right.
Which means you got to get by on talent.
That's correct, because I did not have tatas that were going to float me people. If anybody knows Pope Jane, you know that. So hello. Yes.
So Pope Jane days, Northwest charted out there. What was that like? How'd you manage to get on the charts, get FM play, things like that?
Actually, we charted everywhere. We charted, period. We, back in the day, Pope Jane, for those who remember and those who watched 90s music, we were arcing from 96 to about 2001. And this is back in the day before there was Facebook and Twitter and any way you wanted to get your stuff out there. We didn't have that back then. So you had to just play shows, and you had to be good. And we actually had, are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
We had cassettes.
I had them too, believe it or not.
Right, okay. So we had cassettes, and it was our first album was a cassette, and we played a crap load of shows. And I have this thing called the Little Black Suitcase. And Kristen Coyner, who is the drummer for Pope Jane, gave me the Little Black Suitcase a few years ago. I got custody of it. And in the Little Black Suitcase is all of the Pope Jane history. And I found a newsletter. We used to actually make hard copy newsletters because the internet was so not being used in 1996, 97 out in Montana, really hardly by anybody but you, Roy. Okay, anybody, nobody was using that. And so we took these newsletters that were called the Altar Boy, and we named them A-L-T-A-R Boy. And people signed up for these things like crazy. And we had a huge postal bill for the Altar Boy. And we would lay these things up and send these newsletters out. So we basically just hit the ground when you had to hit the ground running. And the music industry is very different now. They sign people off of television. This is not the way it's run anymore. But back in the day, that's how you got fans. And so we would go to places like Cody, Wyoming, and the most outback of the outback, play tiny little shows, play another show, sell these cassettes for $5. And they took about like $4.95 to produce each one. And we did them by hand. And we took them out and got them shrink-wrapped individually up at Aardvark Video, which is still here in Billings, Montana.
I used to work for them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when I worked for Sunshine Sports, I also did stuff for Aardvark and did video editing and transfers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I used to bring... It would take forever. We would take these
J-cards. I remember you bringing some in like in 98, 99.
Oh, my God. Yes, you would
come in. So I've shrink-wrapped some of those, and I've burnt some of them or copied them because I remember getting copies and having to make the copies and stuff. I remember doing that.
Well, and you had to pay for each one.
Yep.
And so it was 10 cents a shrink wrap. I mean, the amount of effort that went into these cassettes was just stupid. But we would go and sell them for $5 a piece because I had come from my first record deal, which was out in the Pacific Northwest. And I understood marketing. And here in Montana, there were no original bands at all. So Pope Jane was actually the first, and very proudly, the first all-original band to ever come up out of Montana. And we would get hired like a cover band. They would hire us from 9 to 1:30, but we would do four sets of all-original music. And I wasn't stupid, and I was really cute in my 20s, okay? And I walked in there, and I'm like, listen, do you care what we play if people are dancing and singing and they're buying liquor for their, and we're an all-girl band? And they're like, well, hell no, I don't care what you're playing. So we play our own stuff.
Now, while you were out there, you got a chance to tour with Hart for a little while.
Yep, Hart, Joan Jett,
and
a bunch of them.
Wound up working in one of their studios out there.
Yep, Bad Animals.
Yep, woo-hoo. The Bad Animals studio as an engineer, and a little bit of time with Atlantic, working with them, if I'm correct.
Yes.
As an engineer there. That experience, being an engineer, what did you learn? What would you want to share out with other artists that are coming up about the studio experience and the touring experience?
How much time do you have and how much patience do you have? Because I tell you what.
You got 7.5 minutes before we go into the first song, so roll it out there.
Okay, well, I'll keep it short.
One breath. You get one breath. Suck it in.
I can hold a lot of breath. Okay. Seriously, you guys, listen, anybody now who's doing music, we are so blessed with the ability to be able to produce anything at any time and throw it up online, and it goes to SoundCloud and it goes to CD Baby, which goes to iTunes, and we have distribution, and it's fabulous. Let me tell you something though, you guys, just because you record it doesn't mean it's awesome. And I'm not trying to sound like an a-hole, okay? I'm being honest, okay? Make sure it's a good, clean recording. It doesn't have to be the most expensive thing ever. It's, in fact, my album, Red Lodge, that I put out in 2008, I recorded in my own studio, just, you know, in my house, basically. And that got nominated for NAMI Awards and all kinds of other things. But record it cleanly, okay? Artists have this misnomer in our heads that no one will care if it sounds like crap. Actually, they do, and they won't download it. They do care. So make sure, it doesn't have to be $1 million, but just make sure it's a nice, clean recording. And do something that's original, and don't be afraid to do it. And even if it's you and a guitar, or you vocally, or just your guitar, as long as it's clean and it doesn't have this in the background, that's called overhead noise. Don't have that. That's not okay. Okay. Don't have a lot of like, don't be way off your mic like this and thinking nobody will care, because everyone will care and no one will download it because this is the sound of suck. Okay. So make sure you're up on your mic if you're a singer. And if you are doing mixing, be open to suggestion. I have noticed this with artists, especially I co-own another record label, Maurice the Fish Records, out in the Pacific Northwest. And I have noticed that artists are not open to the suggestion in their mixes. The problem with that is, I'm an artist. I can hear my song exactly the way I want it. Well, that's fine. But if you have somebody, some a-hole like me that comes in and used to mix and produce for all kinds of major labels, we come in and go, oh, we could make that so much cooler. If can I just put some 2K on your guitar? No, dude, don't touch my guitar tone. You're ruining my guitar. So be open to people's suggestions. And never let somebody change who you are, but be open to somebody who may know something that you don't, because it may just make you sound more awesome.
Well, and I think the bottom line is there's a whole bunch of people out there in the industry with the major labels, and they're out there promoting things. They're getting it out on the radio, and we won't talk about payola or how that works or anything like that.
Yeah, but, let's not put everybody to sleep here.
they play stuff to make it popular, and they decide what's going to be played, and they do have a criteria. They have a criteria on song length. They have a criteria on timing. They have, I mean, there's a whole criteria. If someone that knows that criteria comes in and says, this is the criteria, do you want to get this on airplay, and it's really great, I would take it.
Well, and the idea, of course,
and it's
Roy,
not selling out.
No, it's not. It's and not you and I talked out. About this. Yeah. We signed artists to 10 Star Records. It's not about changing how an artist sounds. A good producer never changes how anyone sounds. They take exactly how they sound, and they blow it into this magnificent vision. And you don't change how people sound. You polish it up and make amazing. I mean, if you're going to wash a car, does that change the car? Bullcrap. You're making the car look amazing because you're washing it. And sound-wise, when you do production with an artist, you're not there to change them. You're there to shine them up. And that's it.
So actually, this is about a point where I want to jump in and just play one of those that's really clean and pure. And it's actually one of my favorite ones that you've done lately. It's and tell us a little bit about it, because it's also one of my favorite videos, Drive and Drive.
Oh, thank you. I love that song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great one. Tell us, what's the story behind that? It's definitely something with a story, and share it with us.
I am very happy you're playing that. Drive and Drive was written, it's actually, it was on my Red Lodge album, which came out in 2008, which is the last solo project. I'm currently actually recording my new album, and I would love to debut it here. If you have time.
I know a guy who knows a guy that might be able to make that happen. For,
that'd be cool.
You know, the right incentives and inspiration.
My people will talk to his people. Okay.
And we're going to get back to their people, too.
Okay, we'll get back to everybody's people. Somebody's got to have a boob job in there, or otherwise this chain is just not complete. So, anyway. No, really. This song, Drive and Drive, is a song that I wrote. I was in Los Angeles. That I was there for 11 years. I still do a lot of work there. I'm based out of Montana now. And it was very difficult for me to live in L.A. for 11 years and do what I did. And I remember wishing that I could just drive out of town and get out of town and go. But my job would not necessarily allow me to do that at that time. And this was a song I recorded back in my own studio, just in my house. You know, you just have to make sure that you have the right stuff you're doing okay with it. And it's one of my very favorites on the Red Lodge album, and I love the video for it. So thank you for picking it.
Well, let's have it, Sean.
There is a sound to my discontent. Last I heard, it's where my hope went. And I go to that place where only the shadows recognize my face, recognize my face. I can taste what I've left behind. Mountains of spirit and a piece of my mind. Where the wind would lick my soul and prop me up till I was whole. Till I was whole. Drive and drive till the break of day. I know if I can just get away, I won't lose my mind this time. Saved my life this time. This time.
Get in my car, mama, drive real far. I ain't coming back.
There is a smell when a spirit breaks, and the city of angels is all it takes to peel the dreams from a warm, warm heart. And fill up the gutters with a tender part. With a tender part. Drive and drive till the break of day. I know if I can just get away, I won't lose my mind this time. There is a trap that's called the mind, and it'll ensnare you every single time. It will paint your sense of self on a big city mural in the middle of hell, and claim you're doing.
I have to say about that song is that it sounded freaking amazing. I just love your vocals. I love how you just belt it out, and there's so much emotion behind the song in general, and I could just listen to that song, just listen to it and jam out to it. It's amazing. And you said that you recorded that in your closet.
Well, basically,
or in a little room.
No, that's basically it. It could have been a closet. Honest to God, thank you very much, by the way. And it was literally a back room where my studio, I've since moved that entire studio set up here to Montana, but it was just this back room. At the time I recorded that, it was cluttered with all this crap, which actually helps with sound because it won't, you know, echo around, which is why I did it back there. But at that time I had it was like a $300 vocal mic, just some like $99 condensers. I played everything on that track. It just depends on how you mic it. So you can do stuff at home. Just kind of mic it properly.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And I just really loved that song a lot. I can't believe it was recorded in a little area like that.
Oh,
you wouldn't know it if you listened to it. You'd think it was just a studio song. You know what I mean? You did a really good job even back then.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, just think about it.
It was like half the size of this room that we're in.
Yeah.
It was like a 10 by 10, you know, and I was just like, oh God, there was all this junk in the middle of the room. And I was pulling over these mics and just getting them out of the way of the crap of boxes and whatever, and just kind of angling them. And the thing is, you can do a recording, you guys, with a freaking $99 condenser. That freaking record that you just heard got nominated for all kinds of things because it had just basic proper recording techniques.
Exactly.
So you don't need to be a millionaire with a $100,000 recording product. Just have a good ear and just record responsibly.
Exactly. That's such a simple way to put it.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about that is the video. And if anybody out there listening wants to check it out, go to YouTube, look up Ave Vox Publishing, and you'll find a video on there. Who shot that video for you?
Actually, my former partner did. Sheena Metal shot that video. Yep. And we worked on some directorial stuff that we were going to do. And we were coming back from Las Vegas. And I decided, oh my God, I have a video camera. Let's shoot this video. And it was outside of Vegas.
Boy, do I know that story. Yeah. Roy, let's shoot a video. We're going to do a concept video for Merle Haggard. We got one day to shoot it.
And we did. And I talked about it today at the Western Heritage Center. So, yes.
150,000 views off that thing in under 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we shot it in 2 days total.
That's right.
We did a half a day on one location, and then we did a half a day on the next location. Got 150,000 views on over 150,000 on YouTube in under 3 weeks. I love the story about your friend in L.A. that spent, what, almost $2 million on red
my
cams.
God.
Tell us that story
okay,
of what happened.
I would love to hear this story.
All right, this is just driving someone's face into the ground and going, I love it.
You know, and she will remain nameless because there's no need to make people feel bad. Okay.
But, she already felt bad enough.
Well, she did. Yeah. Yes. There is an individual who is a friend of mine, and she's actually a country artist. Okay. And she has a lot of money behind her. And Roy and I, of course, through Tin Star Records, shot the video for Play Some Merle. And for Play Some Merle, Roy, we got together about some certain things we wanted, and Roy directed half of that video and I directed the other half. And of course I can't direct myself. Hello. So when I'm playing on the railroad tracks or whatever, I'm like, dude, I need some help.
Jeez, I got to tell her what to do, tell her where to stand. I didn't let her get run over by the train, although they were honking the horn pretty hard at us because we were too close to the tracks when they came by.
Yeah, way too close. We were like 4 feet from the tracks and they're like, honk, 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 idiots, idiots, idiots. But it looks really cool in the video. Yeah. Okay. So, and they're just like, you idiot, drunk, weird. We weren't drunk. That was the thing. We were fine. But I'm like, no, this is a great photo op. And you were too. You're like, okay, stand next to the train.
Blaring out of the truck, you know, Bose sound system in the truck cranked up as loud as it would go. She's lip syncing to the whole thing.
Absolutely.
I'm running back and going, let's do that again. You know, backing it up and we're doing the second piece again. And
I mean, literally, we had a flash drive on your truck. Your truck is pretty
magnificent.
Plugged
it into my truck. And
and it had the song Play Some Merle on there. About like 11 times, just back to back. So it would just run.
I think we listened to it 200 times that day.
I am sure because sure. I know the lyrics to it, which means we must have listened to it a billion times.
I know the lyrics to it. My 7-year-old daughter knows the lyrics to it. Oh, I got to say tonight, I played a Pope Jane song for her tonight.
Really?
And I was sitting there and I was going through the song list, seeing what was what. And I played your Pope Jane song. Let's see, that would be Lay Down Your Life on there.
Aww.
And we're going to hear that in a little bit. And I started it playing, and she's sitting there on the bed, in the bedroom, and we're chilling. And she looks over me, and she says, Daddy. I'm like, what? She says, I like that song. That sounds a lot like Danielle.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. Well, what a coincidence. Well,
what a coincidence. Like, yes. That
yes,
was
sweetie.
Me.
That's Danielle from way back in the day before you were even born.
Oh, my God. That's so cool, Roy. Oh, my God. Your daughter's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, no. When we were shooting the video for Play Some Merle, what was fascinating about that, and this is good for people to know if you're an artist, okay? You don't need millions of dollars of equipment. What you need is really good choices in songwriting or in mic placement or, in the case of videos, just some really good locations and some really good visuals. Here's, you guys, I'm going to give away right now the $1 million trick to editing videos. This is the trick that MTV sat on forever and VH1 sat on forever. And I don't even know who does videos anymore, but they sat on it. Change shots every 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 seconds. Now, this is hellish if you are editing. And I edited the Play Some Merle video and I'm just like, oh my freaking God. Because you've got to edit together the lip syncing of the artist and the music track. And of course, we had your big old Ford truck with this dually with all the doors popped open and this Bose stereo cranked up. And I'm standing by a train lip syncing to myself and thinking, oh my God, don't get hit. Actually, I was kind of thinking if you get hit, the single will go higher, but don't get hit.
Oh, hey, imagine.
She finds a positive note in the fact
imagine
of getting
a
hit.
YouTube yeah, hits. Oh my God. Imagine YouTube hits if I had you on video there singing along and a train just comes by and you're gone.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, singer dies. I'm like, who should I leave?
150,000 in 3 weeks? No, 150,000 an hour.
Exactly. I wonder what this idiot get smacked by a train. Who dies yeah. with a train?
Your songs would have hit the top of the charts. You'd have been famous.
You know what? And you know, this is really, really, and no disrespect to him. I played with Kurt Cobain, my original project that was first signed in Seattle. We actually played with Nirvana, so no disrespect to him. But in the music industry, this is called the Cobain effect. And it's when you've got a band that's really good and people like, and then you die, and then everything just goes nuts.
Become immortalized. They were so great, and there's no more. We're not going to get any more. We got to get all we can right now of what they left us.
I understand.
It's the Cobain
that.
Effect.
Yep.
Artists experience the same thing. You're a painter. You're not famous till you die.
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, I'm standing awfully close to
this train.
And then
it might be 100 years after you die before
you're
exactly.
famous. Exactly. So pretty much, no. Do what you can as an artist, but use what you got, use your talent, and you don't have to have $1 million. You just have to have...
I think from the direction side, because I'm getting into directing now on music videos.
Thank you very much. You're very good at it. I've done it a lot, and you're very good at it.
I think some other things are, look at your location first. Be able to visualize what it is that can happen, not what you want to have happen. Sorry, get out of the control era. What can happen with what you've got to work with. A good storyline for the song. I mean, literally, have the lyrics in your hand looking at them. I don't care how well you know the song. Have the lyrics in your hand and start creating storyboards. Create a storyboard on a notepad that says, for this set of lyrics, it's going to be this shot. Then,
now, tell
boom,
people
we
what
flash.
A storyboard is for those that don't know.
Okay, a storyboard is, and this is the best way I can describe it. Storyboard is, like, I've got one I'm working on right now. The first shot, it's for a hip-hop group. And the first shot we're going to do is walking up through this parking lot. And the lights in the parking lot are already set up on motion detectors, so they come on as you go through. We're going to video them walking all the way up through the whole thing, and they're just kind of BSing while they walk up. And the lights flash each time. Now, the whole walk is going to take about 30 seconds. When we put that the video, it's going to be 10 seconds of video that's the intro to the whole thing with their BS session dubbed in over the top of it until they hit the top of this walk.
And some really good jump cuts that I'm looking
really
in the future,
good jump
too.
Cuts.
Very nice.
Really
I'm looking in the future
cuts.
On that. Nice job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really good jump
like,
cuts
wow,
in the
that's
future.
Nice.
Then we're going to be moving from there over to a part. And we're actually hoping we get arrested while we're doing this because we're doing it in a downtown Billings parking lot in the middle of the night without permission. And we're intentionally not getting permits because if we get arrested, we're going to get some great publicity
As he
out
knows,
of this thing.
On Montana
I know. Well, make so sure you fuzz out the fuzz's
if
face.
You're a,
dude,
if you're a cop out there, please come arrest us. We need the attention. We need the publicity.
Well, now, so a storyboard would be
the
storyboard, first shot.
The storyboard is the intro of the guys BSing.
It's a picture.
There is page one.
It's
and,
a picture.
And you can do a picture. You can write it out. You can do whatever. There's page one for me. It's on a notebook. It's page one. I already got the picture in my head. I don't need to draw it.
And a lot of people, if in case, now, just in case, say, now, you're shooting the video, right?
Yep.
Say you're an artist. And you need somebody else shooting the picture in your head. A lot of times people will actually draw out the picture, little stick figures, you know, small,
exactly.
whatever. But
exactly.
you're shooting it so you don't need the picture. So
yep. I have the storyboard. When you get there, look at your camera angles. What camera angle do you want? Do you want it straight on at the person? I'm going to tell you right now, no, you don't want a straight on shot of the person unless you're doing a headshot from just above the breast area up. That's the only time you want a straight on shot. If you're going to do anything else, think Andy Warhol. Think... God, who are some of the other
Or if you're
going to
do really
Martin
tight
Scorsese
shots.
Those kind
really
of shots.
Super tight between the eyebrow and the top. the top of your chin. So all you're seeing is the eyebrow down and the bottom lip up. You can do that kind of tight shot.
Go out and take a look at some of the videos and the films that some of your indie producers and directors, and I'm going to throw Scorsese into that. He's an indie producer director. He became very, very famous, hit the top of everything in the industry with it. He is still an independent producer in the way that he produces, the way he directs, and the way he does his films. His camera angles are different. You know, look at some of your movies like Pulp Fiction, things like that. You know, the way they do their camera angles, the way they do storyboards.
The lighting.
Yeah,
the lighting is very important in a video.
And I've shot stuff both in photography and in video where a part of what we're going to do in this next video, we're literally parking four cars, two of them facing down a street, two from the side with xenon headlights, and that's our lighting for the video.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's called Rembrandt lighting, and it's awfully great floods from the side.
You get four cards of xenon headlights in there. You got some serious light going. You don't need generators. You don't need big light panels. You don't need that kind of stuff. You can use very basic things and create really cool effects that people really like. If you got low lighting, do a close-up on the person. They're going to come out perfect. It's not rocket science, and you don't need a whole lot of expensive equipment. Right now, the number one videos on YouTube worldwide that are getting the most hits with the best HD video are the GoPros.
The GoPros?
Yeah. They're the little waterproof, can do anything, go underwater to the bottom of the ocean, up to the moon, and still HD video.
Yeah.
Right now, they're topping it on YouTube.
Are you sure they're getting more videos than hamster skateboards? Because I'm pretty sure that
What do you think they're shooting the hamster skateboards with?
or kitten does belly flop from plane. Yeah. That's a pretty big high hit on YouTube. So. Yeah.
And there's a few other cameras and lens options out there that you can get relatively cheap to do this. Sony's making a great thing right now. The Q lens is what it is. It connects with your phone or your tablet. It's a lens, $500. It'll take up to 64 gig memory card in that thing. It's activated Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, FNC. Sound like I'm doing a promo for these guys.
I know. Are we endorsed by them? Are you endorsed by them? Is the label endorsed by them? Are you?
We're not, but I'm going to try and get there.
Good for you. You know an awful lot about this.
The cool thing about these lenses is you can put them anywhere. You don't need a big fancy red cam. You don't need to spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay, a red cam. I'm going to stop you just for a second in case the listeners don't know what a red cam is. A red cam is a camera that can shoot one great big wide shot. And it shoots in such a high resolution that if I decide to take a tight shot of, say, you, Mandy, and I'm like, okay, we got to pull this in, I can do that off of one great big shot.
From 180 degrees away.
So I don't have to do 55 shots. Now, people don't realize this. When you shoot a film, and I've done many films, I've directed them, I've been in them. When you shoot a film, you're using one camera. So say I want a tight shot of you, Mandy, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do your thing. And you're going to do your big singing moment. And then we need a medium shot. So we pull back and we see you and the band. We're going to do it again. Then we need a wide shot of the whole guys. Then we're going to take everybody. We're going to do it again. That's three times. With a red cam, I can shoot the wide shot and choose my close-ups because of the resolution of the camera. That particular camera costs about $20,000 and requires very, very specific processing in order to edit the film. So when Roy says you don't need a red cam,
a $500 lens or a GoPro or something like that, those things will work. I mean, we're sitting here in the studio and I've got a $2,000 camera sitting over there against the wall. You know what? It's for sale. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't like it. I want something simple. I want something small because I can get better video out of it.
Right. It's newer.
Yeah.
So now, are we putting everybody to sleep at this point?
No, I'm just
listening.
Are
we geeking out? Are we geeking out so bad?
We're geeking out
bad. The entire studio is like, you guys suck.
It sounds pretty cool.
Actually, it's
like when they pan and scan a letterbox movie to make it 4:3.
Yes.
Exactly.
You've got a lot more field to play with, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
A red cam, you've got more stuff out there to play with. You're gathering more data in. You can trim it down and pick out what you want and go for that and do your video. The thing is, you can do really cool videos, people. You can do your music videos. It doesn't take a lot. The key to it is a good director, a good producer, and someone that knows how to edit in the end. That's,
well, that's
the key.
True. And we literally ended up editing everything we did in Place of Merle. This is the whole moral of the story, okay? We go out there. It was not, Place of Merle was not on a high def camera. It was a regular def camera. We shot this out.
Some of it was 640. Yeah, it wasn't even HD.
No, and it wasn't. And in order to accommodate that, I created in Photoshop some cool stuff to put over. This probably doesn't make a lot of sense to people. Basically, some of the Place of Merle video was shot with a camera that wasn't even as high def as a non-high def camera. And so I took it into Photoshop and made it look cool. Okay, we'll say that. And then I took it back into the editing process and edited it together. Now, the portion that I directed on Place of Merle, Roy, you're in that video. You play a character in that video. Yep. And I do a lot of film directing, so that was the whole character part.
Actually, one of our last guests, the Reverend D. Trujillo.
Damien
was the big bad rock star, and I was a skinny little redneck that was trying to pick a fight with him.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was hilarious.
Poor Roy got his neck wrung in this video, though, because Damien was pushing you and whatever, but it was a great video.
So. I'm like a buck 75, and he's like 270 and stands a good foot taller than me.
Which worked. It worked. Good casting. Yeah. But we did pull the casting.
And yes, it was all over a couple of girls. And, you know.
Oh,
it,
snap.
Oh.
Right?
Oh,
come on.
Yeah. It was a country song.
Over some chicas.
Yep.
Yeah. Chicas with good boobies. Back to the booby theme.
They had boobies. So you even got a good shot of me with my face right in her boobies in that video, which is kind of odd.
Well, no, that was part of the lyrics, and you did a very good. I said, just lean into her boobs. I'm sure that was very difficult for you, Roy, but thanks for pulling that
traumatic.
Off.
It was traumatic.
Thanks for working that out for the
traumatic
team.
The traumatic part was pulling my head back out of them.
Yeah, the sheriff's daughter's hotter doing body shots on her are the lyrics.
Guess who's doing body shots?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Roy Pack.
You did a very authentic job. Authentic job. Yes.
That's another one my daughter still sings that we're driving down the road.
Well, that's the thing. We're talking all kinds of goofy tech stuff and whatever tonight. But, I mean, the fact is we got a lot of artists in the room. Mandy, you're an artist, okay?
Whoop, whoop.
No. Yeah, you are. And Roy, you're an artist. You obviously direct, and you do photography, and you put up with my weirdness in our label. We have an engineer back here who I can feel is an artist and does his own stuff. We've not had a chance to talk yet, but that's my other psychic thing I do. Sorry, dude.
Cool. So, I just have one question because you hit me with something a while back and you asked me to come and start playing with one of your bands and doing percussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got to ask because I'm not sure how to feel about this because you know how I am when it comes to music and whatnot. I like to just jump on stage with whoever and grab my drums and play and whatnot. Is this an open relationship? Am I going to feel okay about messing around on you a little bit? And, you know, beating the skin someplace else.
Roy, I want you to know I do not expect a commitment, okay? I am okay with an open relationship. And in fact, we have a polygamous musical relationship. So I would feel weird if you fixated on this project knowing that our musical relationship is so polygamous. So please expand your experience elsewhere.
There you go. You got your answer.
That answer.
You know, I'm just getting all kind of important information out of these two. I'm just really just sitting back and really listening because I just have no idea what it's like to ever shoot a video or anything. I'm that person that just...
You
okay,
will.
Okay, wait a
you
minute, though.
I just write music and I perform it, but I'm not... I have a hard time with everything else, but I am going to change that.
You hang around with us,
you're
starting
to become more confident. About
you
it,
should.
So I'm starting
and
to
let
get
me
more
tell
into
you something.
It.
Radio, they always...
I have a lot of ideas. I just got to put them into, I got to be brave enough to do them. And that's another thing is not being afraid. I think not being afraid to try new things and go outside the boundaries and not care about what people think about you. Because I used to be scared about what people thought about my music, which is why I wasn't so... Well, this was years ago.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
But now it's like I have no problem. God, I love my stuff.
May I
no
ask
problem.
How old you are?
25.
Okay, now let me tell you something. You're 25. I'm 45. So I have 20 years.
Babies, 45. Both
Thank
of you.
Thank you. Oh, would you stop? Oh, no, keep going. It's okay. I'll take it. But seriously, I got 20 years on you, and I would tell you this. 25 years old, you are in an absolutely fantastic position right now to get out and absolutely blow out your music. And I'll tell you, I'll give you some psychic advice here, okay, on the air live. You have a magnificent voice. Oh my God, really?
Don't be disrupting my compliment from Danielle, okay?
You have a magnificent voice, and you are beautiful. You are a beautiful young woman, okay? And you can get out. You are exactly what video will love. What's going to show up in you is big blue eyes and big smile. Now, I've done enough video to know what shows up with people's features. And all you've got to do is get out there and do what you love. And don't be afraid of what some...
Well, I really don't anymore. Now it's just the fact of trying to, you know, expand myself. Exactly. Like, okay. you know, expanding. Doing well, more.
You right. realize I'm going to be all over you now about doing the video. We're going to be doing a video within
3 months. Actually, I was going to ask you about it because I have a lot of ideas for videos. I always have. I just have always been, I'm just like what you were saying outside earlier, like about yourself, that you weren't a natural model. You know, I'm not a natural at any of that either. I
need to be directed. It's cool.
Yeah, that's me. I have to be directed. Otherwise, I'm just over there like laughing a lot and just don't know what to do and awkward and just, you know, that whole thing. It's I'm not proud of it, but, you know.
Me too. It's okay.
It's just how I am, I guess. But I have to change it somehow, just slowly but surely, you know.
And I think that's it. Just change it a little bit. Let it go forward.
Slowly.
Roll with what happens. And don't be afraid. No fear. This exactly. is definitely something. Don't have any
no
fear.
No bear.
And Dilly Gaff.
Oh, I love Dilly Gaff.
Dilly Gaff.
I like that.
Do you know Dilly Gaff?
No, I don't, but I like
that. I sounds. Like it. Go, please explain.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask.
It's an acronym.
Too.
Don't look like okay, you give just... a fuck.
Yeah, that's it. Don't look like you give a fuck. That's Dilly Gaff.
Don't look like you give a fuck. Right, yeah, that's right. Dilly Gaff. That's how you go through this.
God, I like that word a lot.
Yeah, Dilly Gaff. It's great.
I like the way it rolled off your tongue. That's why I was like,
Dilly Gaff. Dilly Gaff.
Dilly Gaff.
I'm just going to walk up to random people and be like, hey, Dilly Gaff.
Yeah,
I'll say it like
it's
that.
So easy. Like, it's so smooth. It's almost sensual if you do it right.
It's almost sensual if you do
don't look like you give a fuck.
Yeah,
that's
Dilly Gaff.
That's one of those wonderful ways to tell people to go and do themselves and make them enjoy it at the same time, and they'll spend half the day figuring it out.
Awesome.
I am amazed, man. Great discussion. Normally we play a bunch of music during the show, take some breaks and everything. And our wonderful in-flight engineer, Sean, over here just pointed his wrist to me and said, it's about that time rolling down. So I'm going to roll out here with our sponsors and say some thank yous and things like that. And then we'll cue up some more music and wrap up the rest of the show with some music from the beautiful, wonderful, and talented Miss Danielle Agnew. And so, yeah, let's see. Sponsors, we have Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. They keep me covered in ink. They'll keep you covered in ink. They do some wonderful, beautiful stuff. Those guys are Jason's from down at the House of Ink, world famous, Philadelphia. Cameron there, one of the best street artists I've ever seen, and his street art comes through in the tattoos that he does. Both amazing individuals, all original work. You will not see templates there. Tell them what you want. They will create it for you. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. We're doing live recordings there on Wednesday nights, so come down on Wednesday nights, be a part of the live recording. We're going to be doing some sessions down there as well, where the audience is going to be participating. Grew some great vino down there. Clint is a wonderful individual. It's Montana's own winery, Billings' own winery, right here in town. Beautiful place to sit, hang out with your children, even if you want to bring them down. My daughter goes down there. We always have kids to play with. Had a swimming pool set up there last night. Fun time.
And I've got a show down there August 2nd.
August 2nd. You have a show down
7
there.
7 to 9 down at the Yellowstone Cellars Winery. So come on down.
Is that a weekend or is that a weeknight?
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday?
Yeah, it's a weekend. So come on down, 7 to 9, free show, drink some wine, hang out, have a good time.
And slap a contract on your ass and record it. How's that sound?
Oh, contract me to my own label? What? I wrote those. I wrote those contracts, dude. Oh,
she knows them inside and out, so.
Yeah, I'll sign it. I wrote it. So, okay.
Along with that, we got to drink some wonderful Black Widow Stout.
It's a great dark beer.
And oatmeal stout.
Thank you.
Delicious. It's brewed with a little bit of chocolate and a hint of spider from Yellowstone Valley Brewing. So thank you guys for supplying us with our beer for the show here.
Love you, George. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're a very nice individual, George.
Yes, George, you are. 10 Star Records produces a show. And let's see, who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, yeah, the guys that actually keep me from eating ramen noodles every day. Adventure Whitewater, if you want to go out for a wild ride and get wet and have fun for a day and just have a total blast, get on the river.
And I did recently, and it was awesome.
Yes,
you guys got to do that. It's so fun. Oh, my God.
Call up in Red Lodge, Montana, and definitely take you out. If you say you heard it on the airship, you get a discount on your trip. So that's our other sponsors for the show. I'd like to thank you all for listening tonight. And this flight's about to land, and we're going to land good and soft. Listen to Swingin' at Nothin'. We'll roll out the end of it with some Pope Jane. Stay tuned.
She's got a smile you see far away. It'll beckon you in and make you wanna stay. While she's there, you're having the time of your life. The party goes on all night. She runs from the things that she loves the most. Spends all of her time outrunning the ghosts that remind her there's more inside her. She claims that she don't ever feel a thing. Spends all of her time in a boxing ring, a prize fighter with no title, swinging at nothing. She's got a system that keeps you at arm's reach, and it's fascinating the company she keeps. When it's your turn, you go to the front of the line, thrilled to spend your time. She runs from the things that she loves the most. Spends all of her time outrunning the ghosts that remind her there's more inside her. She claims that she don't ever feel a thing. Spends all of her time in a boxing ring, a prize fighter with no title, swinging at nothing. And she won't be there. A page in your scrapbook that's now gone bare. And that's when you'll learn to let go. 'Cause after the sun sets, you can't keep the shadow. You're gonna swear you're the only one that you'll hang on to when the day is done. But somewhere you know that it's always been her nature to resent the ones who chase her. She runs from the things that she loves the most. Spends all of her time outrunning the ghosts that remind her there's more inside her. She claims that she don't ever feel a thing. Spends all of her time in a boxing ring, a prize fighter with no title. She runs from the things that she loves the most. Spends all of her time outrunning the ghosts that remind her there's more inside her. She claims that she don't ever feel a thing. Spends all of her time in a boxing ring, a prize fighter with no title, swinging at nothing. Swinging at nothing. Swinging at nothing.
Curl up and hang upon my cold rack. The dream.